Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
What is up? Welcome back to the first episode of 2023 Tomahawked. We're back. The Braves podcast on the Drinking Bros Network is back. My name is Rob Fox, joined as always by fellow Braves fan Dan Holloway. And we have a special guest today.
Yeah,
we have. Who is not one of our people.
No, well, I mean, I don't know what you mean by that. One of our people. He's not a Braves fan. He's a Phillies fan from Delco. We have another Delco guy here, which is we get, full disclosure, we get a tax credit for allowing retards on the show. So we have a crayon. He's a Marine as well. So we've got crayon eating. We've got two Delco guys.
Yeah.
The IRS should be paying us at this point.
I agree. Before the show, they were talking about which Wendy's dumpsters they preferred to hang out in. Back home.
Hey, where did you get mouth cancer? Atlanta's no better. This is going to be a pretty good season for both of these clubs. I still think we talked about a lot going into last season, but the NL East is still, by a pretty wide margin, the best division in baseball, I think.
I would agree. By the way, our guest is Ryan Spader. I don't think I got the name out. Ryan Spader, who's a Major League Baseball analyst, podcast host, author of Incredible Baseball Stats, all that fun stuff.
He's a good Twitter follow because he just pulls random. He's like the announcer for the Twins in Little Big League, where he just pulls random stats out of his ass all the time, but they're super specific. I'm a big fan of that. So, yeah, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, anytime.
Great.
It's nice to have another beer.
I guess that's what you meant by special guest, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, we got to say that for legal reasons. You know, it's like the FDA warning or whatever.
Yeah.
This is obviously a Braves show, but we brought on a Phillies fan because I don't respect the Mets. I don't think they're going to be good.
No.
I think they'll probably win 85, 90 games, and they get bounced in the first round of the playoffs.
I think they have a really, really high ceiling, but they have more ifs than maybe anyone in baseball or in the National League other than the Dodgers, I guess you could say.
It's I always say the Mets are going to Met. You know, it's like the Knicks. You just... Come on, man. This isn't a serious baseball team.
It's cursed.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely cursed. But
I was going to say, how do you guys look at it from a Philadelphia perspective? Because the Braves fans love to shit on them. We're typically, though, that goes back to the 90s, really.
Yeah, with Chipper.
Yelling
Larry at him and shit, yeah.
Yeah, but the Braves and the Mets, it's more of a... I guess we're relative newcomers to the division, but a big brother, little brother thing because we had won so many division titles. But the Phillies and Mets is a more ancient hatred, I feel like.
So I'm inclined to agree that, you know, Phillies and Mets are just like, they don't mix. It's like oil and water. But the when it comes to, and it pains me to say this as a Phillies fan, but I do think the Braves have one of the best teams in baseball. I think that they will win the division. I do think the Phillies will finish second and get a wild card. I think the Mets will also get a wild card spot. But I do think the Mets will be seriously disappointing for Mets fans because they're going to get bounced in that wild card series. And given that this is a Braves show, I'd be remiss if I did not bring up one quick point. Paul Byrd is a dear friend of mine. And he's taken the season off to take care of his wife, who's ailing. And, you know, if you're of the, I don't know, praying type or, you know, the thoughts kind of person, definitely send him to Kim Bird's way. An awesome human being. Paul, freaking great. I mean, obviously you watch him. High energy type dude on the air.
Really enjoyable.
Just great stuff coming from him.
It's the Braves broadcast is taking quite a hit this year.
Yeah, I mean, I hate losing Chip. I'm glad that Francoeur is going to be back for more of a regular role. I really like his analysis, and I enjoyed Paul Bird down in the stands. I don't know who they're going to. Is it just Kelly that they're going to rock down in the stands, or is there another player?
They might add. I don't know if they'll add another player because Jordan's gone too.
Yeah,
Brian Jordan's gone. Francoeur's back. Glavin's back, but only for like 30 games.
Yeah, it's in between his golf schedule.
Basically, yeah. He's just like he has something with the IRS where I think he needs to maintain like a little bit of employment. Mm.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
And
he's not full Curt Schilling or anything, but there's always going to be problems. Yeah, it's we've got a good team. The new guy just sounds so generic, to be honest.
The what?
The new our announcer. He just sounds like every other announcer.
Yeah,
which sucks, to be honest. But we'll see. Maybe he'll be great. I don't know.
But I guess we'll let the guest go first here. Philadelphia Phillies, National League champions, somehow the only NL East team that couldn't beat the Astros in the World Series, really let the division down there. But how are you feeling coming back into this year? Obviously a huge loss off the top with Rhys Hoskins, correct?
Sure, yeah. But Derek, he mentioned it before, Derek Hall is a pretty legit dude. I mean, he probably not at the level of Rhys Hoskins, but yeah.
I do think Derek Hall, he's definitely got some pop. And the thing that honestly, more so than the home runs that I've liked seeing from him this spring. And of course, spring, you got to take it for what it's worth, and it's worth really nothing. But, you know, he's taking walks, which is something he didn't do during his call up. So regarding the, you know, them being the National League champions and everything, I mean, that was a great ride. It was a lot of fun for the city. I live in Stafford, Virginia now, so I didn't really get to experience it close up. But I did go to one of the World Series games, which was a blast. I hate to admit it, but Astros fans are awesome. Like, they're just great people. And, you know, treat you really well, unlike Philly fans. You know, if you're a visiting player, especially in a playoff game, and you go to Citizens Bank Park, you're fucked, man. You are not gonna have a good time. And I certainly had a great time going to the World Series.
Did you go to Houston? Okay,
yeah, we did two years ago. Yeah. We went to a game. It was it's a pretty affable group of folks.
Super nice. Yeah, they weren't really anything.
No batteries being thrown around and shit like that.
No.
Which is
throw batteries at JD Drew. The one thing that killed me even more so than the Phillies like losing the World Series was the fact that I had a $1,776 dollar bet on the Phillies to win the World Series at 40-1.
Oh,
and I did not cash it, obviously. And I had the opportunity to cash it out for like, I can't remember. It was like 34 grand or something, but I did the math and the actual value was like 38. And I was like, nah,
these guys are ripping me off.
Yeah, I'm not taking it.
I would have cashed out probably, but
yeah, I probably would have taken that easy money, to be honest. But yeah, it's, I mean, you guys have, There's a couple of issues. Ranger Suarez is a little banged up. Obviously, Bryce is out until mid-season at least, right? What did he get, Tommy John or some shit?
Yeah, I think so. It's with his arm.
Yeah, so he'll probably come back at DH, but you would think, right?
I would only really want him at DH. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, your other option is Castellanos and right field, which is not great. Although he made some great plays in the playoffs.
He did.
To be honest.
Made a play that saved, what was that, probably game one, I think. Mm. I mean, you know, who knows what the Braves are going to do, but like that was the that was a backbreaker that stopped what could have been a rally in the ninth, I think, and it stunk. Like, hats off to Castellanos for making that play.
But there's some bright spots, too. I mean, bringing Taijuan Walker, he's a good, solid, middle of the rotation guy. That is an improvement to the team, and if Kimbrell makes a return to his previous form, which that's, you know, when you look at closers, you're like, oh, that guy's done. He's had a couple of bad years. That's not really how closers work. They have good 3 or 4 year period, and then they fucking suck for 2 years, and they come back and have another dominant 3 or 4 year period.
Yeah.
So,
well, they did it with Lidge and Papelbon, right?
Oh, yeah.
So why not?
Same thing with Hoffman. I mean, it's, well, you mean
the Phillies.
The Phillies, specifically, yeah. They've made some good moves. They got a good front office over there. They've definitely gone all in on offense. Right, I mean, this is not a very good defensive team. Although Trey Turner should up the middle help that out quite a bit.
What do you think about that? About the defense in particular?
Yeah, Trey Turner. Well, I agree completely. Trey Turner is a complete upgrade for them defensively. Although Gene Segura was no slouch, but they were always bouncing him between shortstop and second base. And he's somebody who, you know, as a fan, I'll miss, but it's certainly an upgrade. Trey Turner, I honestly like him for MVP potentially this year. And one of the reasons for that is I see him getting potentially his, you know, have you guys ever been to Citizens Bank ballpark?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bandbox, mm-hmm. you know, he has the potential to hit 30 home runs. He's got some pop. I know he's not the biggest dude, and he certainly has the speed. He's one of the fastest guys in Major League Baseball, and that's by the numbers. And with the new rules in terms of the pitch clock, there will be more stolen bases this year. And I see him as like a 30 homer, 50 stolen base guy. And of course, that's going to garner some MVP votes. And the numbers back up what I'm saying. A lot of people think that, you know, the extra large bases are going to help out the stolen base numbers. That's immaterial. It's the fact that you can better time a pitcher. And that's what the whole idea of the pitch clock was. I don't think it had anything to do with, and I've got a history of calling out Major League Baseball's bullshit. I don't think it has anything to do with making the games go 20 to 25 minutes faster. It's so that players can time pitchers better and steal bases, because stolen bases are exciting for the game.
So
that's what I see for Turner this year.
So I think there's a lot of credence to that, because if you look back at, maybe this is just me kind of like my dumb theory, but if you look back at the beginning of the major leagues, essentially the beginning of the National League, before even the merger, but certainly in the first years of the merger between the AL and NL, baseball was a fast game.
50 to 80 stolen base seasons were not rare
at
all. I mean, Vince Coleman was doing it pretty much every year. Ricky was doing it pretty much every year.
I'm talking like Ty Cobb era and a little bit before that. Sure, when the nation fell in love with baseball, right? When it became America's pastime.
1871.
It was a game of speed. Like in the turn of the 20th century, it was a game. It was a running game. It was hit the ball, run, move. And then Babe Ruth totally revolutionized it with the home run, right? Yeah. Or just being a big fat guy could crush the fucking ball. But the most excited I've ever been as a baseball fan, and I love analytics, and I read Fangraphs and all this shit. I love the deep dive on stats. The most exciting baseball team I have watched, aside from just loving the Braves and them making runs, is those two Royals teams in 14 and 15 that were all contact and speed. Obviously, they had an elite bullpen, and that was a huge part of winning the World Series in 15 and getting there in 14. But really, like, it was an exciting team. They were always running, always making contact, pressure on the defense. And I think baseball kind of understands that the more moving parts you have on the field, the more exciting it is.
Yeah, I mean, say what you will about the success of Bobby Cox, but the three-run homer strategy is it's almost like watching the Patriots play football. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it works 75% of the time. It works, which is good because you can win like that, but it is not the most exciting thing, frankly, is to hope for a couple of base runners and wait for a three-run homer all the time.
Or with Cox, too, a fucking, like, sack fly. The amount of runs they scored on sack flies just...
Yeah, but I like reintroducing speed to the game. The only issue I have with Trey Turner maybe winning MVP is that Ronald Acuna will probably be 40-40 this year, you would think, right? Because he looks like he's going to steal. He's been stealing bases in spring training, which I don't think he should be, right? But so
I would not recommend it.
Yeah, you did some analysis. Isn't it like 80% of stolen base attempts are successful right now through spring?
Yeah, I think last I checked, we're at about 81%. And when you look at the numbers historically, Major League Baseball as a whole is stealing bases as efficiently as Ricky Henderson did throughout his career. 1,406 stolen bases. It's absolutely ridiculous. The thing with Acuna is, and I think this is something that Major League Baseball wants, just like they wanted the Aaron Judge, you know, vying for the home run record. And then they turned it into some bullshit about the American League home run record when he wasn't going to hit that many home runs, and we're feeding him juice balls the entire time. But I digress. I do think Major League Baseball wants a 50-50 guy, and I think if anybody's going to be that, it's going to be Acuna or possibly Tatis. But I think Acuna right now is in sort of better favor with the game, due to the fact that he did not have the
right
suspension that Tatis did.
I mean, maybe I would think Mike Trout might be in that conversation as well, but he hasn't been stealing bases.
He stole
the
like
last
two bases
years.
Last year.
Yeah,
he doesn't run anymore.
Do you think he will again? I mean, because this is speed is a little bit out of the equation now. I mean, obviously it's still important, but like timing is more important. Is huge in stealing bases.
Yeah, I think that
and he's not slow.
He's definitely not slow, but I think Mike Trout should take a Russell Westbrook approach. I mean, if the Angels are not going to be competitive and spend money to be competitive, let's be frank, Ohtani will not be on the Angels by the end of the season, I wouldn't think, because there's no way they're going to re-sign him. He would be crazy as a person to re-sign there, because fuck that, right? He can make money anywhere. He just signed, or the stats came out on his out-of-contract deals today, and he's going to be the highest-paid single-season baseball player of all time. Even with his basically what is effectively a rookie contract, right? Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like the Japanese, I say this about Naomi Osaka all the time. Mm. Like she makes so, like the Japanese have like five international athletes.
45 million people watch that WC final.
Yeah.
WBC final, just from Japan. 45 million people just from Japan watch that shit.
The Japanese pay their fucking, there's a reason that Roger Federer wears Uniqlo.
Yeah, and I don't know how much you want Trout running in front of Ohtani. You know what I mean? So I think that was the point I was getting at. Mm. So maybe that doesn't happen, but if they're not going to fucking win, just go out there and pile up as many stats as you can, dude. Yeah. I mean, Anthony Rendon is hitting 500 in spring training right now. We'll see if he stays healthy for a season for the first time in 30 years, but right. I don't know. I just don't see this team going anywhere.
I don't know. So I agree with the Angels, because they can never seem to get anything right, and they're spending money. They always spend money on all the wrong people, and I don't want to throw CJ Wilson under the bus, because I love the dude, but like they gave him that massive contract, and I think that like started like a downhill movement where they signed CJ Wilson, they signed Josh Hamilton. Honestly, I don't think they should have offered Trout the contract that they did. Not that I don't think Trout is like, you know, the second coming or anything, but he is humongous, which is why he's not running. I mean, I don't know if you've seen a photo of the guy, but he literally looks like a thumb.
Yeah.
Like he's so big.
He's all mass.
And, yeah, it's wearing on him. He's he's a linebacker. Last year he hit, I think, 40 or 44 home runs. I can't recall. It's one or the other. But he only played just north of 100 games. If you could get that over a full 162 or call it 150, of course they're going to win some more ball games. But I just don't think at this point in his career that they're going to get that. And I am inclined to agree with the Russell, Russell Wilson point.
Well,
Trout
Westbrook
should want out.
Just putting up triple doubles every
night. Yeah.
Just go out there and get your shit, dude, because the Angels aren't going to win.
No.
They're pitching. They Tyler Anderson and Choi are good, but after that, it is a rapid decline, and their bullpen sucks.
Especially now. They just traded Iglesias last year. Like, what? I mean, I would love Trout to see – I would love to see Trout leave center field. Although I don't think he wants to do that. Obviously, he was playing center for the United States.
I mean, he's got a hose. He should be playing right field.
Yeah.
To be honest. I don't know why the center field thing. Put a young guy out there that can cover all that ground. I mean, we saw it a couple of years ago, even with a lower-level player like Adam Duvall. You put him in center field, and it's stressful. He's doing a lot of work out there, and his batting average suffered. He was hitting like 198.
Right.
And then you put him in left field, all of a sudden his batting average goes up to 260. You know what I mean? That's a big difference.
100%.
I will tell you guys though, regarding the Angels, they got a pitcher who I think is a breakout candidate, Reed Detmers. I'm pretty sure he's healthy, last I checked, and he was one of my favorite guys to bet on last year, because, you know, being on the Angels, he would always be plus. The guy throws like 100, and he hasn't really figured out his secondary stuff, so he doesn't have any strikeout stuff. Sort of similar to what McCullers was early on, when, you know, he just had the big fastball, and then, you know, all of a sudden he had that breakout curve, and now he's throwing a slider with that and a two-seamer. I like Detmers a lot this year.
Yeah, he's definitely got a cannon for an arm. There's no question about that. He's only, what, 22, 23 years old or something like that. Hopefully he'll figure it out. But either way, the Angels suck. Fuck the Angels.
Right.
Let's go through the Phillies and first, and we'll go to the Braves later. So Aaron Nola didn't get re-signed before the season started, unfortunately. I think they're looking to re-sign him, but you know how that goes, right?
Yeah.
But you know that Nola Wheeler is as good as any 1-2 punch in baseball.
Oh, absolutely. And they rode that to the World Series last year.
And to be honest, Taijuan Walker, good middle of the rotation guy. Ranger Suarez in the four, that he might be the best fourth in the rotation guy in Major League Baseball.
I would
frankly.
Say that.
Yeah.
I agree.
And then
but, see, I don't really know what the status of his health is going to be.
Yeah, he's out now. I'm not sure what's wrong with him. Is it his arm? Is he getting cortisone or what is it?
I don't even know. And I when guys are getting cortisone, it concerns me because it generally means that like an injury is on the horizon and we're just going to put it off.
Right.
Yeah, that's Kyle Wright is from the Braves is in the same kind of boat right now. He's they put him on the 15-day to DL to open up. Your guys' bullpen's decent. We'll see about that. I think that might be the weak spot for the Phillies, to be honest. Do you have an assessment on their bullpen right now?
Yeah, I think it certainly improved because it was not the best, especially in the first half last year. They definitely improved in the second half. David Robertson did much better in his second tour with the Phillies. He's gone now. I can't even remember who he signed with. But the bullpen this year, you know, the addition of Kimbrel, you made a point earlier about how bullpen guys, you know, they tend to have, you know, 3-4 good years and then all of a sudden they have a bad year and then all of a sudden they're back. Well, you know, it can be a string of a couple outings for a bullpen guy because he's only thrown 60 to 80 innings over the course of a season. And a string of a bad couple outings is going to inflate those numbers. And I think that that's likely the case with Kimbrel. I think he will be returning to form this year. So their bullpen, I think, is a little bit stronger than people give it credit for. But I am still concerned about the defensive side of the game.
I would say, what do you think the I know Turner's obviously a great addition, but one thing I was thinking about with the Phillies in particular is and watching them last year, especially in the second half, they did a good job of fielding the balls hit to them, but the problem was never really the balls hit to them, right? It was more of a range situation. So without the shift, what do you see, like, is the defense how much do you think the Phillies defense will suffer without the shift, I guess you could say?
So before I address that, the thing about the shift being quote unquote banned, I think what you're going to see very quickly is teams circumventing this rule by using dynamic defensive players. And this is going to increase the value of a like a defensive specialist, if you will, like an Andrelton Simmons, where, you know, somebody is moving as soon as the pitch is about to be thrown. Right. And we'll also see, I would say it's very likely we'll see a situation where somebody's using a team's using two outfielders and essentially like a, do you guys ever play softball?
Oh yeah, short fielder. Yeah.
Yeah. Midfielder, you know, they'll have an outfielder who's right up on the grass and I'm almost certain we will see that. But as far as this shift and the Phillies goes, I think it's kind of a, you know, kind of a shame that Reese went down because he's basically a dead pole hitter. And I'm sure he would have benefited from that. And he's got a contract year coming up and surely he wants to get paid. But their defense, I think it's going to be more of the, new song, same dance type thing as far as what we saw last year.
I mean, Trey Turner really helps up the middle. And I mean, to be honest, Schwarber in left is okay, I guess. He's a left fielder. You don't expect too much out of left fielders, and your everyday right fielder is gone. You know, or it's going to be Castellanos, who's not great either. But I think the biggest defensive liability you guys have is Alec Boehm. I think his fielding percentage was like 965 last year or something like that. As a third baseman, you cannot have that. That's like in the modern game. As a matter of fact, most of the best defensive players in the history of baseball have been third basemen. You know what I mean? That's like a premier spot to play. Third base and short, I think, are the most important spots. I haven't watched any of their spring games. Does he look better this year than he was last year? Because last year he looked a little lost out there.
So he was definitely lost in the first half, but second half he did improve a good bit. I don't know if you guys saw the clip where he was like, I fucking hate this place.
Yeah.
And surely he does not fucking hate Philadelphia, right?
Yeah.
But he was just frustrated and getting frustrated with himself. And I mean, anybody who played any sport, you know, when you make mistakes, they tend to compile, right? It's like, you know, bad luck happens. It tends to come in bunches. And I think that was the situation with him. Now, I will say, given his size and athleticism, I don't think he's performing to his potential. And I would, given his size, with Reese going down, I would like to see him at first base. However, then you run into the issue. Well, you got Boehm at first. Where does Derek Hall go? Potentially DH, but then you know Bryce is going to come back. You need Castellanos to DH sometimes. So it's kind of I don't know. It's a situation where it's like too much of a good thing, but not, you know, that's not necessarily a
lot of, right. It's a lot of big bats, but maybe the defense isn't there in any of them. Who would be the, I'm looking at the depth chart right now. Like, who would be the sort of like defensive specialist you talked about on the Phillies roster? Like, who are they moving around?
Sosa.
Yeah. Absolutely. Sosa's pretty good.
He's unreal.
He's only in the big leagues because of his glove.
If that ball was just like 12 feet to the left, it would have been gone. It kills me.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a little pop, but he's in the big leagues because of his glove for sure, and he can be an asset throughout. I mean, don't be surprised to see him coming in late in games pretty much regularly. Or
I mean, it's a lineup. He could play the whole game. It's a lineup that can absorb a shitty bat that's elite at defense, because the lineup is fucking bananas.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber, Nick Castellanos out there on a regular basis. And then Real Muto, who, let's pause for a second and talk about the dumbest ejection I've ever seen in my life. We've seen some dumb ones. I like, I follow a lot of the Twitter accounts, like Welcome to the Ump Show.
Yeah.
Bad Umpire Takes, I think, is one of them. I Hate Referees, I think, is one of them, because I hate officials. They suck. Because the modern ones, because it's just like, they're like children. You're getting yelled at because you suck at your job, and you're just going to throw the guy that we came to watch play out of the game. Fuck you, right, dude. But Real Muto got thrown out for the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, what was your... So you guys can look it up. The listeners can look it up on YouTube and shit like that. But essentially, Real Muto, it looks like he's like fucking with the umpire and like, hey, give me it, and then moves it. Like, it's looked like a, hey, right, too slow, like type of thing. However, he wasn't looking at the umpire.
Yeah,
so he exactly would have to be basically fucking psychic.
Yeah,
to have done that. So what do you know about?
If you watch the entire series, what happened was, it was Kimbrell on the mound, and he didn't like the ball, so he threw the ball off, and the umpire threw him a ball. Turned around, walked back to the mound. Real Muto sitting there on a knee, and Kimbrell turns around again. He goes, "Hey, I don't like this ball either," and he throws it away. And Real Muto sees him looking at the umpire for the ball, so he sits there, and then the umpire doesn't throw it. And he puts his glove up like this, and he thought he was going to throw the ball to Kimbrell, so he put his glove down. Umpire throws it into the ground, and then thinks that Real... Why would Real Muto... What would be the fucking point of that?
No one measures their dick in spring training.
They haven't even been arguing about anything. They're just sitting there, and all of a sudden, this umpire's like, get out. In a spring training game with the closer on the mound.
Right.
I got to hear this from a Phillies fan. This is the dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life.
So I can laugh about it now, because it's spring training, but if this happened in a regular season game,
God,
believe me, I would be irate, and so would all of Philadelphia. I think you really nailed it with the description, because I think the reason JT pulled his glove back away was he was under the impression that the umpire was going to throw the ball to Kimbrel. And obviously that didn't happen, and it's just a coincidence that he happened to move his glove at the same time the umpire dropped the ball. And I mean, like I said, it's funny now, but if that happened in the regular season, I would lose my fucking mind.
Oh my God!
Oh, this season is going to be pretty stressful, I feel like, because it's really the same as last season in the NL East. Like, you can't really. I mean, everyone's going to lose games, but you can't afford to lose games on dumb shit like that in this division.
Yeah, I mean, it's what you're probably going to see is a couple of teams in the high 90s and wins, and then maybe a team in the low 90s or early or high 80s, and every single game counts. Every single game fucking matters, dude.
I remember we were losing our fucking minds last year when
Kenley Jansen.
No, well, yeah, always fucking with Kenley Jansen. But remember, it was right before that the Braves ripped off their huge June, and Ozuna had that horrific play in left field in Arizona. Yeah. And we were just like, dude, like, we're not going to do anything this year if these fucking assholes keep, like, Ozuna in particular is in left field. But, I mean, I'm going to feel the same way this year, where anytime there's a dumb play or series that loses us a game, I'm going to be like, fuck, dude, like, that could have been the game.
Yeah, and then, you know, before we wrap up on the Phils, I want to ask your opinion on how the pitch clock is going so far and then the penalties and how you think that might change as the season goes on. Because I'm not sure if they're going to do any midseason changes, but I would like to see the pitch clock go away in the later innings or something like they did with the extra or the challenge rule and the extra man on first and stuff like that, where it only applies to a certain part of the game. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I want to see a big matchup between, you know, one of our premier closers in baseball, and like that moment between Ohtani and fucking Trout the other day. I want to see that play out in the way it's supposed to play out, not with dudes being rushed through the process.
Right, you know, and a guy stealing all the way to third because Ohtani can't pick him up. Yeah.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts?
I'm not a fan of the pitch clock. I like baseball traditionally. I'm honestly not even a fan of interleague play or the designated hitter. The designated hitter thing is a bit ironic because I championed for Edgar Martinez to make the Hall of Fame, and he did. And when he did, he actually invited me to his induction, which was awesome. But, you know, Major League Baseball decided, hey, this is going to be part of the game, and I can't change that. So regarding the pitch clock, though, I think that it's going to be consistent throughout the season. I am also inclined to believe that they probably will not use it during the postseason. And if for nothing else, it's, you know, advertising money. You know, the length of games matters when it comes to that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I'm actually a little bit surprised is who is the Braves? Bailey's, right? Mm-hmm. Bailey Bally's or whatever. There. Yeah. And then the Phillies are Comcast. And I'm surprised none of these guys, none of these huge organizations didn't come after Major League Baseball, or maybe they received a payoff or something, because you're talking about an additional 20 to 30 minutes that they're not going to be able to show ads, which is how they're making their money back for what they're paying for. It kind of blows my mind.
That's about 8 minutes of commercial programming, basically, not including the overlays that are in-game and stuff like that.
I would think it would only affect the overlays, really, right? Because you're still going to have the same number of breaks.
No. Well, I mean, you'll have the same number of breaks, but they'll be shorter because there's a clock on the break now.
Oh, okay. Right? Yeah.
So instead of having, usually you have in Major League Baseball, I think it's 3.5 minute breaks between every inning, something like that. Mm-hmm. And now it's down to 2.5. Okay. I think, isn't it like 2:17 between innings or some shit? I don't remember what the number is, but it's definitely less than it used to be. It's the number, the time on the clock when you're changing innings is less time than the average commercial break.
I don't know that the major leagues understand advertising, because when I watch the Braves on MLB TV, I only get the same Scott's Turf ad for like 5 years in a row.
Well, they're really into grass.
Yeah, like it's really, and it's one ad between every break, the same ad between every fucking break, repeated all season long. Like, they don't sell advertising there.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about.
The one I always get is the Roman ads, the boner pills.
Oh, yeah.
funny enough, when I was hosting a show with my buddy Holden Kushner, who's he's in his 40s, one of our ads was a Roman thing. And he's like, dude, I'm not doing this. You do it. And I'm like, dude, who do you think is more likely to have ED? The dude in his 40s or the guy who's 30 years old?
Oh, yeah, we used to have them. We have Blue Chew now. Blue Chew's better because they pay us.
Oh, send some my way.
Yeah, well, we use it recreationally around here. Before we let you go here, you mentioned Edgar Martinez. You've been kind of instrumental in and assisting with the PR campaign to get a couple of people in the Hall of Fame, the latest of which was Scott Rolen, right? We're going to need you to turn your attention to Andrew Jones, because it's a goddamn travesty that he's not. That is the most egregious example of somebody not being in the Hall of Fame that I'm aware of.
So I'll tell you what, I'll tag you on a couple of things. I am very friendly with Andrew Jones. Hell, I could I could text him right now and get him on your show if you guys want.
Yeah, we'd love that.
Yes, please.
So I'm not kidding. I will as soon as I jump off the phone with you guys. I'll send him a text. But Andrew, absolutely a Hall of Famer. You're talking about 434 career home runs, 10 Gold Gloves. Like, that is Hall of Fame by itself. But he was just a complete player all around. When you look at his career, the only comparison is Willie Mays. When you look at it top to bottom as a, you know, defensive specialist who also hits bombs and gets on base. Now, he didn't get on base at quite the clip that Willie Mays did, but he still did a good job getting on base. He had years there where he was very quick, stole some bags. But 434 home runs, 10 Gold Gloves, it's just unheard of. And the fact that he's not in Hall of Fame is really, in my opinion, an indication of BBWAA's failure. And I've been a critic of BBWAA for a long time. First of all, because I applied there for membership, and I did not get denied formally, but I got bounced around. And eventually somebody told me, hey, look, you can't be a BBWAA member, even though I was writing for the Sporting News, the Buffalo News, and NBC Sports. You can't be a BBWAA member because baseball is not the main source of your income, which is absurd to me. You mean to tell me that not one of those BBWAA members has, received a large inheritance or something? That's their main source of income. It just blows my mind. And they've just failed time and time again. And I hate to say it because I know so many members who are great dudes, Jason Stark, Jeff Passan, awesome guys. But the fact is, when it comes to the Hall of Fame, it only takes one out of four guys to be an asshole and fuck it up for everybody else. And that's been the case time and time again. In the case of, I say Andrew Jones, his only comparison is Willie Mays. Of course, Willie Mays is one of the greatest of all time. And in reality, it's no crime to be Willie Mays. This is the same thing that kept Tim Raines out of the Hall of Fame. His comparison was Ricky Henderson. Mm. Of course, Ricky Henderson was a better ball player, but you know, it's no crime to not be the greatest leadoff hitter of all time. Yeah. It's no crime to not be the greatest center fielder of all time. It's pretty good to be a top five guy, though.
Yeah.
And Andrew Jones certainly was.
I mean, Rock is one of, what, eight people that have 200 home runs and 400 steals or something like that. I think it's him, Bonds, a couple other people, A-Rod, Johnny Damon's one of them, our buddy Johnny Damon's one of them. There's not a lot. And when you look at, Andrew Jones is by a pretty wide margin the best defensive center fielder of all time. Now, Willie Mays made a lot of slick plays, and by all accounts, I wasn't around, obviously, for that, but by all accounts, was an excellent defender out there, very athletic, great arm, had an instinct for making great plays, too, which is, I think, is part of it. It's in that intangible category. But if you look at the numbers, defensive run save, Andrew Jones is the first outfielder that shows up on that list in the all-time leaders, and no other outfielder is even fucking close to him. It's all shortstops and catchers.
I think he's got like 246, and Mays is like at 180
or
something.
It's like 60 apart.
Absolutely ridiculous.
It's not even close. I mean, people think of, if you ask, depending on what generation it is, some people will say dumb shit like Jim Edmonds. It's like, he was a slow, and he was really good at being slow in center field,
right?
Which is good. I mean,
he had no range. No range whatsoever.
That's what I was going to ask you. What I think, there's two things holding Andrew Jones back. One is people always associate him with the time Bobby Cox pulled him.
Yeah.
Because he didn't hustle, even though that was pretty early in his career, and he obviously put effort in after that. Mm. And two, he doesn't really have a highlight reel. He's like, if so efficiently boring for the most part. Like, you really didn't see him on SportsCenter that much because everything he caught was easy.
Yeah, and he was playing like 6 feet behind second base back, too. I've never seen anybody play a shallower center field. And honestly, I mean, if you ask any of the Hall of Fame pitchers from the 90s on the Braves, Glavin, Maddox, Smoltz, whether Andrew Jones belongs in the Hall of Fame, you're going to get one answer. Fuck yes.
Yeah, their numbers.
Every single one of them. Absolutely.
They can attribute quite a bit of their career success to Andrew Jones. Certainly the second half, because they aged really well. And the two reasons for that, two of the big reasons for that was, one, they never got injured. And two, they had motherfucking Andrew Jones in center field.
Certainly doesn't hurt. Is there anybody else on your radar, baseball wise, Hall of Fame wise, that isn't in that you think should be? I think a lot of people have, you know, their short list and stuff. But who do you got?
So I'm a huge advocate for the quote unquote PED guys. I think Mark McGwire doesn't deserve a plaque in Cooperstown. He deserves a fucking statue. The man
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This sport.
Yep.
And people, whenever I say that, they're always like, oh, it was Sammy Sosa as well. Sosa in that 98 chase was great, but you got to keep in mind, Sammy Sosa was not a part of that until June of 1998. Mark McGwire was chasing that record in 96. Mm. And when he was going head to head with Ken Griffey Jr. So I would put in McGwire, Bonds, Sosa, you know, Sheffield, all those guys. Obviously they're not on the ballot anymore, but I would put those in. And like, let's be real. There's guys in the Hall of Fame right now who use PEDs. There's I don't know if you ever heard the quote from Tom House. He was like, dude, we were taking greenies. Tom House is
Nolan Ryan's pitching coach. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And he was like, dude, we were taking greenies, steroids, tranks, yeah, stuff, yeah, you wouldn't give to horses, whatever we get our hands on.
I mean, Mickey Mantle was getting amphetamine injections into his leg, for fuck's sake. You know what I mean? Like, come on, dude, what are we doing here?
Ridiculous. Yeah. And so to keep these guys out of the Hall of Fame is ridiculous. And then the other one that I really take qualms with is, well, going further back, because there's several, Shoeless Joe Jackson, I think, should be in. Pete Rose should be in. But Curt Schilling recently. I just think it's absolutely ridiculous to keep a guy out because you don't think that he sends nice tweets.
Yeah, I mean, that's a new one. I guess maybe if I had to make that statement again, Andrew Jones statistically might be the most egregious example, but to my understanding, Schilling is the only guy who, the only reason he's not in the Hall of Fame is because he's a Republican. Well, he's kind of, yes, a cunt too, to be honest, but like, just the people don't like his politics and his attitude, so he's not in the Hall of Fame. Well, let me introduce you to Ty Cobb. He was a giant piece of shit. He fucking pulled a gun on an umpire on the field. Are you fucking kidding me?
He beat up a handicapped guy in the stands.
Yeah, but that guy was asking for it.
He did. He did honest. Call Ty Cobb the N-word, so Ty, yeah, Cobb beat the shit out of him.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But seriously, like,
tell you though, Schilling gets a bad rep because he does, you know, occasionally tweet something stupid or something like that. I know the man personally. He's a pretty decent dude.
Yeah, his son just graduated Paris Island, right? But
yeah, he did. He did, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
He's a pretty stand up, you know, guy in real life, and if you're friendly with them, it's honestly like me. So many people hate me on Twitter because it's a performance. You know, it's not who I am, right? It's not. We go out for beers. I'm not going to be the Ace of Spader on Twitter. I'm going to be me. You know, it's not the same. It's not exactly the same thing as me going out there and tweeting, being arrogant about being the best at picking Major League Baseball games because I'm betting on every single game throughout a season. It's sort of a, I don't know, I don't want to call it a character, but a caricature of oneself, you know.
So I have one more Hall of Fame question for you, and this guy's kind of received really, really recent support, I guess you could say. This has been kind of like the trendy one lately. Kenny Lofton.
Huge, huge advocate. Now, I wish there was something I could do. When he was on the ballot, it was kind of before I started getting into this Hall of Fame stuff. There's been, let me think, four or five guys that I've advocated for, and it's not because of me, they get in because of themselves, but four or five guys that I've advocated for strongly, written pieces with, like Tim Raines, Larry Walker, Edgar Martinez, Scott Rowland. I've done one with Andrew Jones as well. It sort of helps gain a little bit of traction because I do have a decent following in the baseball circles. But when it came to Kenny Lofton, he was on the ballot kind of prior to me getting into all that. And he was voted off on the first ballot. It's a complete crime, because one thing I think we do in baseball is we view it in sort of in hindsight or in retrospect, where we look at the game and we measure it by today's measurables. You know, people say Ozzie Smith, or excuse me, Lou Brock is the worst Hall of Famer. And I say, no, he's not, because he did exactly what was expected of a leadoff hitter back then.
And he, by the way,
saw some pitches.
Lou Brock, yeah, and Lou Brock was like, I'm from St. Louis. Like, Lou Brock was a like legendary player to Cardinals fans. Like, my mom was obsessed with Lou Brock. Like, it's so I think he had the at least the fame to justify. You know what I mean? Like, he was a famous star player.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
but then people want to today. They take a look and they're like, well, his WAR is bad.
Right.
Lou Brock didn't know what the fuck WAR was.
Right. And also, I don't, as much as we talk about defensive run saves and stuff like that, I like wins above replacement. I like to look at it. It's a fun, neat, easy stat. But I don't really love defensive metrics very much. And I think they underrate a lot of fucking dudes. Like, what the fuck was...
On point. Let me get on my soapbox on this one, because I think when it comes to the defensive metrics, a lot of and I'm going to trash BBWA again in media. A lot of the media personnel, they like to be in the know first, right? In the 80s, look at all of the guys who won Cy Young and even MVP awards just because they got saves. Saves was the most important thing, and we're in the media and we're in the know, and you guys, you know, we're before you and you guys don't know what you're talking about. And it's kind of the same thing right now with defense. We don't know really what anybody's defensive run saved are. These are estimates. These are best estimates possible given the data that we have at this time. There's all kinds of things that aren't being tracked still that need to be tracked in order to get something closer to absolute, and we're just not there yet. And you know, I think a lot of the media personnel pretends that we are because they want to be the ones who are there first. They're the ones in the know, and then, you know, the rest of us are just stupid fans who don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, that was so Eckersley won MVP in 92 and Cy Young, and he had a good season. He had 51 saves, which I think at the time was the record. He had a 0.9 whip, pretty good. That's what you expect out of your closer. But that in 1992, was he the best player?
Look at 1984. No, he was not the best player.
No,
not in the American League. Like, come on, man. There's no way, right?
No.
In 92, let's see.
I mean, McGuire was in the American League in 92.
On the same team, actually.
Yeah. I mean, God damn.
Yeah.
And the other thing with there's so many times I see, I would say the only defensive metric I truly trust is maybe catcher framing, right? Because you can kind of, that's extremely measurable. But like, I mean, I remember just being a Braves fan, like Freddie Freeman always had negative defensive metrics, like negative WAR for defense. And it's just like, I don't know, man. I see him pick so many balls out of the dirt that just, I don't think the average first baseman gets. And it just, and I'm sure everyone has someone on their team like that, where it's like, you're telling me he's bad at defense, but that is just not coming even close to passing the eye test. Like, maybe break even, because I don't know what the range is like or something. But the amount of outs I watch this dude save that clearly are a difficult play, and you're not rated. It just, they're all, I don't trust it. And again, wins above replacement is a fun stat. Like, it's easy to just look at and be like, wow, he's already at this.
But it's not as accurate about impact as PER in the NBA. And there's a reason that the last 15 MVPs in the NBA, 13 of them have been the PER leader. That's an accurate stat for me, right? When it's that close and there's only exceptions. For wins above replacement, I like Bill James and shit, but I still think it's kind of a guess.
Sir, I mean, if you...
So one thing with... Sorry. One thing with wins above replacement that I think a lot of fans don't realize when they cite this stat is you have to keep in mind, you know what a zero war team would be, right? They're 48 and 114. Like, so one war just gets you to 49. I think a more viable stat is WAA, wins above average, because then you're looking at 81 and 81 as the mark. And I'm surprised that that's not the stat that we use as like the, I don't know, the centerpiece, because war really has been used as a centerpiece for, I mean, even the ESPN has it on their website now. And I'm just kind of surprised that that's the standard that we set, is replacement as 48 and 114 instead of that 81 and 81 mark.
Yeah, that's, I agree. That's a, that is a weird, weird thing to go off
it's,
of.
I don't know. I mean, baseball, it's, I feel like of all the sports, we're kind of the dumbest at doing stuff. We almost, like every 10 years, we almost fucking collapse the league by doing some stupid shit. But what are you going to do?
Just delete the Twins for no reason almost.
Yeah. Yeah. Or have the Expos play in Puerto Rico in a fucking third world field on some weird ass turf for half of a season. Right. Yeah. None of that's happened recently, luckily. But, well, look, thanks for coming today. We're done with the Phillies portion of this. Is there anything else you would like to share with the audience aside from some kind of pro Philly propaganda? yeah.
No, man, I really appreciate you guys having me, and I hope we can talk some baseball throughout the season when things get underway. I'm only going to be coming on if the Phillies are ahead of the Braves, though, because I don't want you guys talking shit and making me feel bad.
Well, luckily, the first, 50 days of the season, we usually suck out loud, so I'm sure we'll do the same thing this year.
Yeah.
Tell everybody where they can find you on Twitter and shit.
Just the ace of Spader, man. I just like talking baseball with good baseball people. I don't care too much for plugs. I'm just the ace of Spader on Twitter. One thing you guys all have to follow, and I'll hook you with both of you guys with subscriptions if you want. I don't know if you bet on baseball, but I do bet on every single game, all 2,430 of them. And I put my picks on Discord, and okay. I have 4,000 people following that.
Nice.
So that's been pretty fun and pretty yeah, we'll successful. Do
that. Not many people are good at gambling on baseball.
It bought this car that I'm sitting in.
Sweet. Well, thanks for coming, man. We'll see you soon.
All right. Take it easy, guys. See thanks you, buddy. A lot.
And now let's pivot to a real baseball team, the Atlanta Braves. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, this is probably, it'll be the Braves or Phillies and then one of the NL West teams probably for the league this year, you would think. I don't think the Cardinals have a pretty solid squad. I don't think they've got it, though, to make it that deep in the playoffs.
I don't think
the pitching is too shallow on that team.
On both ends.
Yeah.
In the rotation and the bullpen. Yeah. And
now Milwaukee's a little bit better on the pitching side, but their hitting is pathetic.
You know, yeah, it's pretty bad. You know, they could have a nice year, but the thing is, their pitching's good enough that they could go on a run.
If they can get, they just got to get there, right? But the problem is, you're probably going to have three teams from either the East or the West in the playoffs, and that doesn't leave a whole lot of room for the Central.
Well, and the thing is, there's a more balanced schedule this year, right? So that hurts the NL Central the most because they lose games against the Reds and Pirates and who's the other shitty team in the NL? Oh, and the Cubs. And, you know, they pick up games against the Nats, but otherwise they're facing good teams the rest of the time. Yeah. So the NL Central is probably only putting one team in. Their win totals are going to be depressed from the balanced schedule.
They're probably, you're looking at an 89 win team probably from the Central making it. Something like that.
I could see that. But again, Woodruff and Burns, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm not 100% sure that both of those guys are going to be on the roster. Burns especially is on, I don't know if he's actively on the block right now, but he's at the part of his contract where they might be trying to extract some value out of him.
You know, I mean, but they added pieces this year. They didn't lose him. Obviously, they were real fucking cheap with him in arbitration or whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they added, obviously, William Contreras from the Braves. Devin Williams, brilliant piece in the back end of the bullpen. And they have a lineup that's interesting. You know what I mean?
But it's they're still kind of – Willy Adames is good, but they're still – and they picked up Waker as well from Cincinnati. But they're still kind of just – it seems like they're just waiting around for Yelich to come back.
Yeah, and pretty much.
It doesn't look like it's going to happen. It's been a couple of years now.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think one team out of the Central, probably two teams out of the – there's six teams make it. So two teams out of the West – and three teams out of the East or vice versa.
I mean, I could definitely see the Giants, Padres, Dodgers being in or the Phillies, Mets, and Braves.
Yeah.
Like, but I can't – it's hard to imagine unless one of those six teams I just named collapse seeing the Central get two teams in. Anyways.
And honestly, both the Dodgers and Mets are a little bit vulnerable.
They're like the Warriors from those last couple of title runs. Especially the one that they lost, where if a couple of pieces get hurt, they're fucked big time, especially now that Trey Turner's gone.
Yeah.
And I think Gavin's out for the season already, right?
Gavin Lux is gone. And Dodgers rotation. Look, the Dodgers always have a great farm system.
They do, but they've lost Corey Seager and Trey Turner in the last two seasons.
Yeah.
I don't care how good your farm system is, you're not replacing that.
I mean, more with the pitching. If they suffer pitching injuries, they probably got guys that could plug in, but.
They're deep pitching. And Kershaw's looked really good this spring, too, which means he's going to be hopefully he stays healthy all year, then he'll be completely irrelevant in the playoffs. Because if he pitches over 150 innings, he's not worried about him at all.
He's dead, yeah.
But let's get to the Braves. As we mentioned before, Kyle Wright is going to open up the season on the 15-day deal. He's got a little inflammation in his shoulder. They don't want it to turn into anything long-term. They gave him a cortisone shot early in spring. I think he pitched one more game a little bit after that. But again, from the Braves' perspective, they are a slow starting team almost every year. Mm-hmm. There's no point in running out your 21-game winner immediately.
You don't need to be urgent. There's no urgency. Yeah, I agree.
Especially not with the depth. I mean, we're still – so Soroka and Ian Anderson and what's the other guy's name?
Dodd.
No.
Morton?
Son of a bitch.
Is he in the big leagues or no?
Well, he was. Stand by. Fuck's his name.
Not Mueller. We traded Mueller.
No, not Mueller. Well, shit, there's still Wasker and Noah. He'll be back relatively soon. In a couple of months, I think. The other right-hander, sinker ball guy. The one that's a good pitcher.
Oh, Bryce Elder.
Bryce Elder, yeah.
Yeah.
So they have they have a major league staff at AAA right now already. Mm-hmm. Now it would be back into the rotation guys, but it's still dudes that all have pretty a wide breadth of experience. And then
the Braves have about nine pitchers that they can swap in and out of the rotation. Obviously, you don't want to swap out like Strider, Fried.
Strider and Fried are the fixtures. I'm not sure if Morton makes it through this whole season. He's not really looked that good in spring. And he's getting kind of old, but he's got old man wisdom too. So,
right. And there is literal, tangible value in just eating fucking innings.
Yeah, yep. Certainly that's the case. And you know, Dodd and Schuster, it looks like they're going to be the fourth and fifth starter maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And probably get two starts each in the first couple of weeks of the season. I think that kind of worked out nicely. To be able to evaluate those guys in games that matter. Iglesias is out right now. I don't know who's or how long, but the Braves
not that long.
The Braves bullpen's pretty deep. I'm not terribly, as long as he makes it back towards when the games start to matter. I'm not worried about that. You're not going to find a better pitching staff in baseball than this.
1 to 15 or whatever. Yeah. No, you're not. Like that is
especially now that the Mets don't have Diaz. Mets had Diaz, it would be close because the front of their rotation's so good, but. With him out, their bullpen's in trouble.
I'm a little worried about Scherzer's durability at this point.
And Verlander's as well. Remember, he's coming off a major surgery like 2 years ago.
I mean, things could go really fucking wrong for the Mets. I don't think things will go... I think the Phillies have a better chance of making the playoffs than the Mets. Like, considerably so. Like, because things can go wrong for the Phillies, and it'll be relatively okay. Like, the Mets have pieces they need to work, or it's not going to happen.
Yeah. And it's... They have a good ceiling, but they've got, of all the six teams from the East and West, I think they probably have the lowest floor because of just an injury or two, and that whole team is fucked.
What are you seeing with the Braves outfield this year? That seems to be, I think, to me, the key situation, because that's where the question marks are, right? You've got Acuna, who didn't have a great year last year, obviously coming off an injury, and then whatever the fuck left field is.
Well, you know, I don't know what his splits are as far as facing lefties, but Eddie Rosario has looked like the Eddie Rosario that hit 35 bombs for the Indians a couple years ago so far this spring and in the World Baseball Classic. And it's not just about he's hit a bunch of home runs. He's seeing the ball better, obviously. But it's not just about
he just went blind last year for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Well, he had a little pinhole in his cornea, which I've experienced that before. It sucks. Like you feel like you can see shit, and then when it gets things that are moving, like lateral movement, you can't see very well.
Mm-hmm.
But he's looking pretty good, and it's not just the home runs he's hitting. He's making very good contact. He's not. You've watched him too, I'm sure. It's spring training, you take it for what it's worth, but he was very defensive all of last season. You see him hit a lot of dribblers to the left side of the infield or right back to the pitcher because he's just trying to make contact. He's swinging his ass off right now, and he's making good contact. So left field is that, basically. And then whomever they decide to platoon. I don't know what percentage of National League pitchers are left-handed, but it's usually like an 80-20 split, something like that. So he's going to get the bulk of the at-bats anyways. Ozuna is a liability in left field. Like he can't be out there. Not in any game that matters. Like early in the season, if you want to get him out there just to eat up some time and whatever the fuck. But Kevin Pillar is an excellent outfielder.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best in baseball, but he can't hit.
I guess good friends with Anthopoulos or something, because they were both at Toronto at the same time. And he was a great fielder. He was actually a great player in Toronto, but the bat has fallen off.
Yeah, but he's going to be your late-inning replacement, and your off-day guy is going to be Sam Hilliard probably, unless something else happens. I'm not terribly concerned about it, to be honest. I mean, we still don't know what's going to happen with Vaughn Grissom and whether or not that's a service time play, or if they evaluated him and they think, well, what we can probably do is bundle him and Shoemaker and get a better guy.
Yeah.
Maybe, who knows? Maybe get a left fielder and keep running Arcia out there for another year or two until we can sign somebody in free agency. Who knows?
The Arcia move's interesting because, and I didn't realize this until I was reading something the other day, not even a Braves thing. This was just a random thing I was reading. I did not realize he was a top 10 prospect in Major League Baseball.
Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah. I mean, he's an incredible athlete. He's not... And he can hit. That's great. I'm glad he can hit. It's not like we're getting. It's not like they're putting fucking Rafael Belliard in here,
right,
or anything like that.
Even
but
Blauser.
He's not very good defensively. His career defensive percentage at shortstop is .965, and that would put him in the bottom third of the league.
And defense is more important this year than
The last. With Dansby out, you're trading in. Arcia will probably put up slightly worse numbers than Dansby would offensively, I would guess, but be competitive in that way. But defensively, Dansby saved our ass a bunch last year, and this is going to be a problem. I don't think they're going to be able to stick with Arcia through the whole season.
It doesn't feel like it, and even with perfect scouting positioning, that's going to be tough. Are there any areas that you're? I mean, this Braves team is, God, it's like as deep as I've ever seen an Atlanta team.
I mean, for the second year in a row, we have two all-star catchers.
Right.
Right? So last year it was William Contreras, who was the starting DH for the National League, and then Travis d'Arnaud, who was the starting catcher for the National League. This year it's Burphy, who was an all-star for the A's, and d'Arnaud again. That's not a bad problem, or it's not a bad thing, obviously. That's two very good players right there. And then Olsen with the shift coming off, and Albies also with the shift coming off, that's going to definitely improve their ability.
I think it's even Acuna is going to get a lot of fucking hits this year on shitty balls. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's not a very good strategic hitter, but he is really good at hitting the ball where it's pitched.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you make mistakes out over the plate to him, he's going to fuck you up. Same thing with Riley, by the way. Riley hit into the shift on the right side of the infield quite a bit as well.
Yep.
Because when he's right, and maybe this is something he picked up from Freeman or maybe Chipper, but when he's right, he's hitting the ball hard to right center field, and so he hits into that alley as well. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, this is they're very deep. They're not we've seen actually each of the last two seasons they've missed. They've had two big parts of their fucking lineup out, and they still were very competitive.
Right.
Once they won the fucking World Series without the best player on their team, so no real complaints there. I am kind of interested in what they might do trade wise as the season goes along, though. To be honest.
So how one thing I'm curious about is Darnold, not very pretty good framer, not a very good defensive catcher otherwise. Is that why Murphy's here? Because they knew the pitch clock was coming. They knew that stealing was going to be easier.
Probably, but as you as Ryan was talking about earlier, the league-wide average for caught stealing is like if Ricky Henderson was always on the base, no matter who the pitcher or the catcher is.
Right.
So I'm not sure it really matters at this point, to be honest. I'm not sure if you should framing, yes, but throwing out base runners is kind of a thing of the past at this point, right?
Seems like it.
Yeah, it's I don't know that that's going to be a huge concern. But the Braves have always been, they've always liked framers. That's kind of their thing.
It is, and I think it's smart. Actually, one thing you might see a lot more of this year is the pitch out.
Yeah, maybe. But even then, like I think you're going to see dudes stealing bases on the pitch out and making it.
Probably.
Because of the timing.
And you wonder if a ball is worth it.
Yeah, for real.
Really?
Like, I mean, if you're going to put yourself in a hole like that, just drill the hitter. You know what I mean? I used to do that. I did that to intimidate people. If anybody tried to steal on me, I would hit the guy every single time. Like if I hear gone in my head, hitting him. Unless it's like a serious situation.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? But there's a lot of guys out there. Like I think, I don't know what's wrong with him physically, but if Correa has a good first half and the Twins suck, I wouldn't be shocked to see the Braves make a move on him. Even if it's like a shorter term, 3-year kind of situation or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Cause he's quite a bit better defensively than Arcia is.
Well, he's better in every way than,
certainly,
than Arcia is. So we're making the playoffs. It would take, with the expanded playoffs and how good the Braves are, it would take something.
I don't see a single win on that schedule.
It would take something outrageous for Atlanta to not make the playoffs. So what do you see being, I suppose, our potent, obviously the playoffs are pretty random, but a potential Achilles heel in the playoffs, and if there's any?
I think the biggest question mark probably is the bullpen, but only because that bullpens are like that. I mean, you've got Kenley Jansen's gone. For better or worse, he still saved about 85% of the games he was in, even though it gave you a fucking heart attack every time.
Right.
Matzik is out for the whole season unless he's... I mean, I think he had his Tommy John and his TJ in October, so he's not going to be back this season. Mentor looked great last year.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to be able to carry it over? Because he's one of those kind of guys that goes up and down from year to year. Dylan Lee's been a great innings eater, been pretty consistent, but he's thrown a lot of innings over the last couple of years. Kirby Yates looks like he's back, which is nice. So, but again, they have these guys on their roster in the bullpen specifically, like Colin McHugh and who's the other guy with the fucking stupid goggles? Bitch. I can't remember his name.
Yeah. Oh, the Latino dude.
Yeah.
Fucking Jesse Chavez.
Chavez, yeah. Who are like... They're just, I mean, that's bullpen pitching, though. It's like some weirdo that,
right,
for some reason can get people out most of the time. I mean, Colin McHugh looks like he belongs in a fucking beer league somewhere. He throws like 80 miles per hour, but gets dudes out. But I think that's the point of least depth for them right now because of the loss of both Jansen and Matzik for the season. Yep.
I'm a little worried in the playoffs because this happened last year. Now, granted, the Phillies have great pitching, but this has been a situation in many years for the Braves, and they kind of just the year they won the World Series, they missed Verlander and McCullers, right? And then, you know, the Dodgers had good pitching, but they kind of weren't themselves. Scherzer's arm was dead.
Yeah.
They, to me, don't have a great track record of beating top-line starters in the playoffs, so I'm wondering if the bats turn it around there a little bit this year. That to me is, we seem to shrink away often, and I think we ended up getting a pretty fortunate path, which you need in the playoffs. A lot, you need luck essentially in the playoffs. I think in 2021 we got a pretty fortunate path. We miss Verlander, McCullers, and the guys that were still in the Astros rotation. Those are great starters, but they were 2 years younger, right? And then we kind of got lucky against the Brewers to an extent as well. I mean, Devin Williams.
Their offense was so bad.
So bad.
Yeah.
Devin Williams broke his fucking hand and couldn't pitch that. Celebrating and couldn't pitch in the series. So Hader has to come in an inning early. I mean, we were kind of scraping by against their best starters. So to me, I still somehow, even though we've won a World Series, don't think the Braves have proven themselves in the playoffs against top line starters.
Yeah, I would say, honestly, as much talent as there is on this offense, if there was a situation like runners on second, third, down one with two outs late in the game, I think Darno's probably the guy I want up there because he takes the best at bats of all the people on this roster, which that's why he's so successful, because he's not nearly as physically talented as some of these other guys. He takes great at-bats. Almost every at-bat. He doesn't give at-bats away either.
No, and it sucks because in the last 2 years, we've bled two of our other best guys who've done it, which is Dansby and Freddie.
Yeah. Now, Olsen is one of those guys too, but a long, loopier swing. So if you remember, he had like 14 doubles and 25 walks in the first month of the season last year, something crazy like that. It'll be interesting to see how Michael Harris develops. Apparently, he can do everything. Eddie Perez was throwing BP the other day. I think it was on Friday of last week.
Okay.
And Harris just decided to turn around righty, and he hit four 400-foot home runs in a row.
Jesus.
And then flipped the bat and walked away. I'm like, all right, I like that. That's cool. And then the broadcast team, I think it was Kelly, was talking. She was talking about how anybody that does anything in the clubhouse, he's better. He's like, oh, you want to play ping pong? Fuck, when? You want to fucking do it? It's like doing math. And I don't know what the fuck all he's up to, but I think he might be a 30-30 guy this year. I think he's got the pop for it, to be honest.
He does. And honestly, so both Acuna and Harris, and to the point earlier with Ryan, Trey Turner already hits 300.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know what Harris average wise is, but like usually
we'll see. I mean, he hit like 298 last year, 297.
But him and Acuna, they're gonna get more hits.
Oh yeah,
just because the shift's not there. Because it's gonna, if you take an extra fucking second, split second to get to that ball, you have to move just a half foot, 6 inches further. They're safe
with those guys running like that. Yeah, and Albies as well. By the way, he's pretty quick. So my bold prediction for this season is I think between Albies, Acuna, and Harris, they're going to hit 100 home runs, and they're going to steal 100 bases as a group of three.
Okay.
That's my bold prediction for this year.
Who would you say is your final four?
Final four teams?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I'm going to pick the Braves. I would say probably Braves and probably, I don't know. I keep wanting to say the Padres, but they just haven't proven they can win big games.
It's right. I mean, that lineup is...
it's so good, but the fucking... the Dodgers... You know, it may sound crazy to say this, but the best thing that could possibly happen to the Dodgers is if Clayton Kershaw misses 2 months in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
Because they still have Gonsolin, who Dustin May is back. Like, this will be the first full season Dustin May's back from injury.
And he's electric.
That kid, but, and Gonsolin is too. Gonsolin throws 97, 98. Like, you're fucking, that's the top four in a rotation. That's pretty fucking good.
Yeah, and obviously Urias is.
Yeah, Urias is good every year. You don't want to run into those guys. So, and then, you know, but we've actually done pretty well against their bullpen. Gratterall, who seemed unhittable for a while, we fucking
somehow
lit him up pretty good. I don't know how. I mean, it's just good at bats. I think Daniel Hudson, we had a lot of success against, but, and then they have Shelby Miller over there from the Cardinals a couple of years ago too. And if he has a bounce back year, that's going to be a tough rotation. So probably the Braves, Dodgers, and the National League. The American League, to be honest, I don't fucking know. Astros, probably.
I don't think you bet against the Astros making the ALCS.
That team is stacked from top to bottom, to be honest. I don't know how how Luis Garcia is going to do with the change. Like, he's got that funky delivery that he's had to change, and I don't know if that's going to get in his head or anything. But aside from that, Framber Valdez, I think he's got the best odds to win the AL Cy Young this year right now. Christian Javier, Lance McCullers is out again. I don't know, he's He hasn't been able to get it together, but still, that's a really fucking good team.
They have another guy in their rotation who's supposed to be like the new dude. I don't think he's. I'll have to look up his name again. But Valdez, Christian Javier, Garcia, and Urquidy too. But they have a someone who's coming in from a Colors who's like a young pitcher who is just totally fucking leaving my brain right now. Regardless, I think it's I think the Astros are ALCS bound no matter what.
And I would pick the other team. I would pick is probably the Rays. Just because anytime there's, it's like the March Madness right now. This is the most parity we've seen in college basketball in a long time. Mm-hmm. So pick the consistent team seems like a good approach to me.
Yeah.
And the Rays are good no matter what. I don't know anybody on their team. Also, we sponsor them. So hopefully they go to the playoffs so we can get more eyeballs on our product.
I mean, the Rays are, this is even for the Rays, like as deep of a team as they've ever had, I feel like.
They're pretty good, man. I mean, they held on to a couple of people for the first time in a while without just trading off whenever they come out of the rookie contract, but they've got McClanahan and Glasnow at the front of that rotation. That's pretty good.
And this iteration of the Rays has done well in the playoffs.
Yep.
I agree with you on the Rays and the Astros. I'd probably go for the NL. It totally depends on, like I said, I think if the Braves can hit top line starters and then just who they catch.
Yeah.
But I will, all things equal, I would say probably Atlanta and, I don't know why. I just feel like Milwaukee could have a year.
If they hit, but.
I feel like St. Louis is so much more injury prone. Or I'm sorry, so much more prone to being hurt by injuries.
Yeah.
Not saying that their guys are more likely to get hurt, but if St. Louis loses dudes in the rotation, I don't know what the fuck replaces them.
I mean, their
guys.
Rotation is already not very good.
Right.
To be honest. So but they've got they have the number one and two in the voting from MVP last year, I think.
Goldschmidt, Arenado, fucking incredible. And they added Wilson Contreras.
Yeah, Contreras is great.
Or Wilson.
They got Tyler O'Neill. They've got Lars.
I love their lineup. I love their defense.
Defense is good. Offense is good. Pitching. Ryan Helsley is good, but the rest of that. Honestly, Jordan Hicks is the most talented pitcher that sucks I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah.
I wish somebody would just throw a cutter, dude. You can't just throw 103 miles per hour right down the middle every time. It's Major League Baseball. They're going to hit that shit.
They'll touch it eventually,
Somebody's got to fix that kid because he's still pretty young. I think, what is he, 26? Yeah, he's 26 years old. He throws, I've never seen anybody since Nolan Ryan throw a ball like he does.
Yeah.
He's hit 105 on a pretty consistent basis over the last 2 years.
Wasn't he the dude that was walking all the Braves home?
Yeah. Like fucking six walks in a row, and finally they're like, dude.
Yeah. And then Helsley walked a bunch of Phillies. The Phillies beat the Cardinals in that series because he fucking choked it away. I mean, like walked like two or three dudes in a row with like the bases empty in the last inning. And one of the two games, I forget which one it was. I just remember I was at La Barbecue picking up barbecue and listening to it in my car. But I don't know. I feel like the Brewers, look, somebody's got to win that division. And it's either the Brewers or the Cardinals. Mm. And I feel like the Brewers are better off taking a bigger injury to their lineup, like losing Rowdy Tellez or something, than the fucking Cardinals are losing like Miles Mikolas.
Yeah, I mean, they can't. There's not a lot of resilience on either of those teams, unfortunately. And look, maybe the Cubs make a move. I don't know. I mean, they don't have a bad team, and they've got a little bit of pedigree now with Dansby on the team. They improved their rotation. Stroman's there now. James Tallien from the Yankees is over there now. Kyle Hendricks is there, although he's out right now. Bullpen's not very good unless Brad Boxberger makes a comeback. He's had some good seasons, but not lately. But it's like a who the fuck are these people?
Right.
You know what I mean? Trey Mancini, maybe he's got a good year in him. Maybe Cody Bellinger is going to have a great season. Suzuki and Wright is great. Mm-hmm. Like he's probably their, other than Dansby, their best player.
I do like the roll of the dice on Bellinger. I wish the Braves had done it.
Yeah, me too, honestly. But I mean, if you put him in left field, that's the best defensive team in history.
Oh, God.
Well, not team, but outfield for sure. But it's hopefully the Windy City, the confines will do. I like Cody Bellinger. He's a good player. So we'll see. And it's probably quite a bit easier to play center field in Chicago than it is in L.A., to be honest.
Yeah.
Even with forget about the wind. It's just not as much space out there. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
That is all more or less I have got.
Yeah, I'm done.
All right. We are coming back to you every week with Tomahawked. This is kind of a weird week because we're going to Miami for Hard AF's opener there because we're in both Lone Depot and Tropicana Field.
Yep.
For the Rays and Marlins. We will probably, not probably, we will decide on a like concrete day to do this show. But like I said, weird week. So yeah, for Ryan Spader and Dan Holloway, I'm Rob Fox. Tomahawked.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.